Chapter 1. Galveston, Texas. Day 0. Leonid was a stranger in a strange land, and as the clouds thickened, churning beyond the ragged chop of the Gulf of Mexico, he believed things would only get stranger. A sharp wind sliced in across the water, the cool scythe bracing Leonid, drawing its arms around him, a gentle reminder of home. Galveston Island was about as far from northern Russia as one could get, as far from his home and his family as he'd ever been. More than once, he questioned why he was even there.
Leonid, what are you doing out here?
Footfalls crunched along the rocky edge of the shore, though Leonid didn't have to turn to see who was speaking.
Just a little fresh air, Malone.
He stuffed his hands in his pockets, bunching his shoulders against the whipping winds.
Meteorologists are losing their collective lunches, Malone said, stepping up next to Leonid.
You're not going to want to be out here soon, even if miserable weather does remind you of Russia.
Russia is more than just miserable weather, my friend, Leonid patted Malone's shoulder. Though, you are not wrong. This does bear a striking resemblance to Moscow in the spring.
Leonid's smile faltered as he pictured Moscow in the spring as he said it. Walking along Arbat Street at the height of his great nation's dominance, fingers laced within the fingers of his wife. His wife was thousands of miles away, anxiously waiting her turn, hoping to join him here behind enemy lines. It was amazing, if not all that surprising, how much the bureaucratic train could grind to a halt when the person being freighted upon it wasn't as important as he had been. American politics and Russian politics were not so different in that way.
We'll get them here, Malone promised, sensing his friend's concern. That's the story I've heard many times before.
The wind picked up. A sudden swiftness cut across the uneven surface of the gulf, racing along the sloping, rock-littered shore. The air itself thickened, not unlike the clouds on the horizon, a heavy wetness making the world feel like a damp washcloth pressed to his weathered face. Chainlink rattled behind him as the wind rushed through its diamond-shaped openings, and he turned, the shrouded silhouette of the lab framed against a backdrop of approaching storm clouds. Thunder snarled, a rumble deep in the belly of some unseen beast. As he drew his eyes upwards, a scrawling sketch of lightning drew a ragged line through the cloud cover. He'd been focused on the storms building over the gulf and hadn't even noticed the clouds coming in until he found himself surrounded by them.
They're asking for you. They would like you inside before the storm comes. It's a big one.
Not just a big one. One of the biggest. Leonid wasn't entirely sure why he'd felt the need to come out onto the rocky shore and see for himself.
Ah, yes, the eternal they, the ones who steer this huge ship.
He cast his hand toward the block-shaped silhouette of the Biopharm Research and Genetics Laboratory, perched upon the slope. It was the whole reason he'd left his country and his family to come to the United States, to work alongside them, peeling the genetic onion, slicing and dicing it, picking it apart in hopes of unlocking the cure to cancer. They'd been so close. Certainly they'd only need him for a few months, they said. Only it had already been 6, and there was no end in sight. And in search of that genetic omelet, they'd already broken more than their fair share of eggs. They promised to stop being so reckless with their testing, promised to put a lid on their ambition. But as always, Leonid held little faith that such promises would be followed. For all of his willingness to put his home country in the rearview mirror, he still had his lingering doubts about America, the great capitalist empire. A thrum resonated within his pocket as he strode toward the open security gate. A middle-aged guard, way too physically fit for his supposed role, stepping out to ensure the gate closed behind him. Thunder roiled yet again, a feeling deep in his chest matching the not-so-subtle vibrations of the phone in his pocket. He instinctively touched his right hip pocket, letting his fingers brush the fabric, confirming that it was his work phone that was vibrating, and not the other one, the private phone, the one the mysterious they didn't know about.
It was the phone he used, not nearly as often as he liked, to reach back to his family in Russia and make his countless promises that they would join him soon. Each time he made these promises, he sank deeper and deeper into quicksand, slowly consumed by the knowledge that America cared little about his family. Whatever promises they made were not worth the metaphorical paper they were printed on. It was indeed the work phone, and he drew it out, glancing at the screen as he fell in along with the two men encouraging his haste back into the building. National weather alerts. Hurricane warning for Galveston and surrounding areas. Significant flooding and winds expected. Tornadic activity has been tracked along the Gulf Coast. Shelter in place immediately and await further instructions.
Does that say tornadic activity?
Malone had to raise his voice as the increasing winds threatened to drown him out. Rain pelted down, thick clumps of water beating a ragged drum along the fence, the ground, and the laboratory's exterior. Since yesterday, the local meteorologist had been warning about the incoming hurricane, though, if reports were to be believed, things had accelerated in the past hour. As he finished speaking, Malone removed his own device from his pocket, both of them walking a little more quickly against the sheets of slashing rain and wind.
They need you in the containment area.
He spoke the words as he stared down at the dimly lit screen. Lightning raked the clouds overhead, gleaming from the bald slope of his skull.
Containment area.
The veins of pale blue ripped loose, a single jagged spear hurled earthward, slicing a vibrant scar along the dark sky, so abrasive that Leon had halted in his tracks. Like a thrown javelin, the lightning punched hard into a section of building ahead, toward the left, where the backup generators chugged along in the event of a power outage. There was a whiplash crack, loud and jolting, a sudden vomit of sparks shooting upward. They sprayed so high, they emerged above the low-slung roof of that section of the lab. In the glow, the tall metallic spire of a radio tower seemed to gleam, reflecting the forked light, its afterimage lingering against the dark clouds. Leonid cursed and took a sudden clumsy step back, the words tumbling effortlessly from his mouth in his native tongue. He tried to keep Russian speaking to a minimum. He found it made his fellow scientists uncomfortable. But as the embers of the struck lightning dissipated like winking butterflies, it seemed the only word that made sense. Ozone wafted, the fetid stink of smoke and electricity emphasized by the acrid tang of fuel.
"This isn't good," Leonid said, his head shaking. "You don't know the half of it," Malone uttered.
Wind accelerated, tufts of sand whipping from the ground around them, drawn up and toward where the lightning had struck. Malone swiped a badge over the reader, the light blinking green, a soft click signaling the release of a series of internal mechanisms. They rushed through the door as it hissed open and into the dimly lit access corridor beyond, trailing water. Rain hacked angrily through the air outside, as if the weather itself contained emotion. Even before they got three strides in, the volume picked up, a jackhammer thudding echoing from the roof above their heads. It only took moments to pass through the corridor and out into the employee dining area. The television showed the same weary faces it had been showing since the weather warnings began.
Storm of the century. Instead, this is being dubbed the storm of the millennium. Millions of Texas residents could be without power in the coming hours, though that risk pales in comparison to the potential loss of life as Hurricane Dahlia bears down upon the Galveston shoreline.
They always blow these things out of proportion.
Lena chuffed, but the look on the pale faces of a few of the men before him told him that perhaps there was more truth than he realized. A bellow of thunder roared so deep that it filled the interior of the lab's cafeteria, heads lifting toward the ceiling.
Leonid!
Malone had drifted ahead several paces, making his way toward the hallway, moving much faster than he had previously. He angled back over his shoulder.
We need you, now!
Leonid's heart raced, a sudden cleated sprint across his ribs.
What is it?
Containment unit, follow me!
Why?
Leonid held his place, scrutinizing the man. There is nothing in the containment unit. The samples were all destroyed. After what happened in Alaska, people died. Almost a dozen.
Leonid,
Malone hissed, his eyes wide. We do not talk about Alaska. You do not talk about Alaska.
Yes, I made that arrangement. God, rest my soul. But that arrangement was contingent on the fact that BioPharm wouldn't repeat the same mistakes. Yet you're standing here, telling me to come to the containment unit, and if something is in the containment unit, that means...
Before he could finish, the lights flickered, a warble of failing power drawing them down, holding them dim, then easing them back alight. Wind buffeted the building, a sudden surge of aggression from outside, its roar resonating throughout the tight confines of the corridor. The hallway shuddered and groaned, sounding as though it was within the center of an active vortex. The hurricane couldn't be on top of them already. They'd just been outside, looking along the horizon, watching it build in the distance. But sure enough, rain and wind screamed outside, the howling wendigo shriek of nature at her worst.
If there's something in the containment unit, I need to know what it is, and I need to know how serious this could be. This storm, if it hits us hard and something gets out.
Malone's face shone with sweat, his eyes pleading. And for a moment, a look of near terror crossed his face just as the lights went out and drenched the hallway in darkness. There was a moment of silent shadow, then the sudden faint hue of crimson as red-tinged emergency lights flickered along the hallway's interior walls. Malone was shrouded in an eerie scarlet, his sweat-soaked face looking like recently spilled blood. Leonid's fist pressed so hard, his fingertips dug into his palms, his legs bolt straight, the soles of his shoes fixed on the polished floor. Wind sheared yet again, a howling wail. And from somewhere outside the building, a rending crack echoed, akin to a rifle shot, but too loud and too broken. Leonid halted, his shoes squeaking on the smooth floor. The single snap cascading into a series of splits and creaks. He stood there, mouth agape, as the hallway vanished beneath a sudden crash of gridwork metal, a shearing, shattering chorus of smashing stone and twisted steel. The impact jolted through the corridor and launched Leonid backwards. His spine striking the floor as he tumbled, limbs twisting, his aged body racked with sudden pain. For all of his faults, Malone Davis had been one of the few men he thought he could trust at that place, and all of a sudden, he was just... Wind and rain hammered into a broken crevice left behind by the collapsed tower, lightning raking the darkness outside. A violent gale screamed through the ragged remains of the exterior wall. Leonid managed to claw to his feet, rain slamming from all directions, the distant plaintive wail of an alarm siren sounding from somewhere deep within the compound. If samples still existed, if there was still biological material within the containment unit, and if the unit got breached, everything he'd worked for, everything he'd fought for, everything he'd lived for would have all been for nothing. He lumbered forward, venturing outside into the wind, rain, and scorching blades of lightning. Wind and scattered refuse tore at him, a swirling barrage of pure, feral energy, forcing Leonid to retreat a step, sheltering himself from the brunt of the tornado's backlash. Just ahead, the distinctive tunnel of twisting dark wind and swirling detritus hammered into the main wing of the laboratory, chewing through its rigid exterior. Concrete buckled and tore, ragged chunks of building's flesh rending free, revealing the skeleton bones of rebar and superstructure. The lab itself was sucked into the churning funnel, ripped asunder and turned into shrapnel, joining the already darkened interior of the tornado. It was as if the funnel cloud was an amoeba, drawing more energy into it, funneling its own growth with the torn-apart remnants of its victim. As Leonid watched, eyes wide and unbelieving, the tunnel wormed its way across BioPharm campus, ripping through the guts of the compound. A ragged, debris-littered path trailed in its wake.
Wind slammed and buffeted and swirled as the tornado moved farther along, angling north, then slowly began to unfurl, tossing the remains of what it had destroyed in wide arcs through the air. Already, the fierce, brutal storm began to dissipate, the hammering winds transitioning to hard, pelting rain. Darkened clouds drew up their tendrils as lightning continued to rip across the sky, thunder rolling low and deep. He looked upon the shattered laboratory ahead and fell, his knees striking mud, palms pressing into the wet, ragged ground. And he knew the end was upon him, but not just him. The end was almost assuredly upon them all.